The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari is one of the most famous silent films of all time. It's one of the spookiest films of all time, exactly, as well. And what drew you to it as source material for this stage production?
The first time I ever saw the film, I fell in love with it. Visually, it's astonishing. It's just so striking and beautiful. The story is also very interesting. The twist ending is fantastic, very well written. I've always been really, really enraptured with films from the silent film era. My favorite movie is Metropolis. So I've always just wanted to find a way to bring the feel and the style of that to live theater. I've never seen that before.
And how do you bring the film, I mean, the feel and the style of silent film to live theater?
Well, first off, we're turning everything black and white. Everything about the set, the actors' costumes, and their makeup. So we are physically turning the actors black and white. They also aren't speaking any lines. There's no dialogue. There's a projection screen and projection slides, as you would have in a silent film. The lights and the transitions of scenes kind of flow along with that.
Do you use color gels at all for tinting?
We do, we do. So in the original film, the present is indicated with a blue light, and then the past is indicated with amber, and we kind of tried to do that in the show, using those two colors to indicate time change and to indicate like nighttime and daytime.
So what are some of the challenges that you ran into, though, in terms of taking a full-length feature, a silent film, as we said, and translating it to stage for silent actors who are going to be very monochrome on stage, and you're going to have a very monochrome set as well. What did you think? Oh, this is what needs to be from the film. These elements need to be from the film that need to be on stage. And what are some of the challenges that you ran into?
Well, there are a few images that stick out when you think of the film. Cesare's face, when the first time he opens his eyes inside the tent. A few other particular images that we really tried to stick to. It's a theater. We don't have the ability to completely change sets. We don't have a fly system, so we can't do a sophisticated system of backdrops. So what we've done is integrated several of the locations in the film into our set. So we do have a fairground tent. We have kind of a outside garden area. We have a clerk's office that also kind of function as other settings for the show. The biggest challenge, I think, is physically turning 12 actors pale lavender and gray. I mean, the sheer amount of time we're spending doing makeup is crazy.
I mean, how many hours?
Actors at our theater come in about an hour before show. We're calling them in 2 hours before show and doing the makeup in process. So they do their base, and then the two makeup artists, myself and Ali Ducey, work in shifts to finish everyone off. It's quite a sight.
What is it that people see? I mean, like, set the stage, you know, as to what people are going to see when...
Well, the way we've set up our theater is a typical proscenium style. Sometimes we move our stage around, but we've set up the audience on one half and the stage on the other. And everything is painted in this skeletal, ghostly, half there, white outlines. So the walls are black, and then on top of that, you've got layers of some lamp lights and awkward facing buildings and leaning houses. And then we have this beautiful tent that our stage designer Abigail Entsmeyer has designed that's beautiful. And it's a black and white actual canvas tent that comes out from the wall. We've got this wonderful little like raised seating area for the clerk's office that's very, very fantastic. And then we have a few moving pieces. One thing we were really trying to experiment with is depth of field and trying to create layers in our theater, since silent film can be flat. Mm-hmm. And since this film is filmed in front of paper backdrops, we wanted to play with that, but we wanted to find a way to make it more visually interesting. So we do have a few scenes where we've got two things happening at once, where one character is crossing in front of and something else is happening behind, or the orderlies and Francis are doing their investigating and Caligari is having his realization on the other side of the stage. So that's something that we've really been trying to play with and has turned out beautifully.
When did you first encounter Caligari itself? I mean, when did you first see the film?
I first saw it maybe 5 years ago. I had a friend that introduced me really to Metropolis and to the original The Pace That Kills, what Cocaine Fiends was developed from. And at that point, I fell in love with the human's face ability to convey emotion without saying anything. Some moments can be so powerful, and all the actor is using is their eyes. And I found that so moving and enrapturing that I just delved really far into the world of silent film. And luckily, Netflix has a huge, huge library of silent films.
What do you hope people that will see this will feel?
I hope that they will be creeped out, and I hope that they will be intrigued. And I hope that it makes them ask, well, what else could we put on stage? What other kind of weird medium did we never think we would be able to see live? At least that's something I would really like to see.
And creeped out.
Yeah.
So tell me the creepiest thing that happens without spoiling anything.
I think the creepiest thing is trying to figure out what you think of the ending. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm going to phrase that.
Okay. Okay.
Because it lets you, you know, it lets you explore your mind a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, do you think that, well, I don't want to spoil it. Do you think that the story is right, or do you think that someone is not telling the truth? And I think that's pretty creepy.
All right. Thanks, Sophie.
Thank you. Okay.